Good evening. Good to see everybody back again this evening. If we have any visitors with us, we're so glad that you've come our way to worship God together with us, to sing and pray and to study from His Word. We're going to begin this evening by singing number 6 in the supplement book, if you want to use a book, number 6.
Magnify, oh magnify.
Scene number 21. On Bended Knee I Come.
Oh.
Let's bow. Your holy and righteous Father, we bow before you, Father, around your throne, with humble hearts, thanking you for this wonderful day that you have allowed us to be gathered here, to be able to praise you, to honor you, and to remember your Son, who died on the cross for the remission of our sins, Father. Help us to always meditate on his sacrifice, and that we may always strive to be like him. Father, we thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you have bestowed upon us, for we know that all good things come from you, Father, even though at times we may not know it, Father, and we may never know it. But we know that you bring us trials and tribulations, and you help us build character and patience and perseverance, Father. And we thank you for that. As we worship you today, Father, help us to meditate on your word and to always help us to be strengthened and comforted by it. Help our brother that leads the hymns today, Father, and our brother that brings the word today, that you may help him be able to teach us and show us your word in a way that we may be able to understand it. Help those who are amongst us that are visiting, Father, and open our hearts that we may be able to receive your word. Father, we also ask that you help us as we choose members here that are qualified to be able to serve you as deacons, that you give us the wisdom to be able to make that process, Father, and help us pick the right ones. Father, we also ask that you be with our elders, that you continue to bless them, Father, for we know that they have a hard task, and it's not easy for them. But help us as members to make it as easy as possible for them, Father, that this flock may be able to, that we may be able to reach that goal, that's to spend eternity in heaven with you one day. Father, we also ask that you be with those that are ill, like my wife Sarah, be with the twins of the Harris, be with Cindy Madair and Cindy Osborne, be with Lindy McDonald's nephew, Father, and with Tom Morris, relative, Father, that you help them overcome this illness, Father, if it is consistent with your will. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins, for we know we fall short of your glory. It is in your Son's holy and righteous name we pray these things. Amen.
In the big book.
The first stanza will sing slowly and deliberately. The second stanza will be much faster.
Do me so, man of sorrows,
man. be reading this evening from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in the many portions, and in the many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. And when he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of his majesty on high, having become much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to whom of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me."
Time has been set aside to serve the Lord's Supper to those that are unable to observe this morning. If you raise your hand after each prayer, let us know. We'll come serve. If you'd pray, please. Heavenly Father, we come tonight to thank you for the gift that Christ gave us, Father, and at this point to remember his body that was broken on the cross. And Father, just be with those that are observing and help them take this in a proper manner. In Christ's name. Father in heaven, we continue to come to thee in prayer, giving you thanks for this cup, giving you thanks for the blood that was shed on our behalf, so that we may have hope to spend eternity in praise to thee. Bless it and those that partake of it. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
Let's all be standing and sing number 359 before the sermon. 359.
I heard an old, old story, how sin came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Earlier this month,
I preached a sermon called the King's Sermon. And we talked a little bit about King Nebuchadnezzar and his sermon in Daniel chapter 3. And it really was a sermon that we all, as followers of God, need to hear. We talked about how we need to trust in God, how sometimes we need to violate the king's command, so to say. And how we need to yield up our lives for God. Now, as many of you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was like a roller coaster. You know, he had his ups and downs, his highs and lows. And that's not the only sermon that King Nebuchadnezzar preached, so to say, in the book of Daniel. He also preached another sermon. And as well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the other sermon. So if you would go ahead and open up to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, starting at verse 37. And while you're turning there, let me, I guess, set the scene, give you the context here. This takes place after King Nebuchadnezzar has been driven away from his kingdom to live among the beasts of the field. And God, he does this to King Nebuchadnezzar for a short amount of time, and then he returns his kingdom back to Nebuchadnezzar. And this is how King Nebuchadnezzar responds here in Daniel chapter 4, starting in verse 37. He says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true, his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride." This is where we're going to spend our time tonight, talking about this sermon, because it's really another sermon that we all need to hear. King Nebuchadnezzar keeps doing a good job with these three-point lessons that he's been giving us. This is a lesson that tells us about the qualities and the attributes of God. And if we are going to be followers of Christ, we're going to be followers of God. These are things that we need to know. This is what we're going to talk about tonight. Before we jump into the lesson, to our visitors, we're glad that you are here tonight. We hope that you stick around. Let us get to know you a little bit better. You're our honored guest. So let's go ahead and jump into the lesson. Take a look at verse 37 with me again. It says, Nebuchadnezzar says, "I praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for number one, all his works are true." It seems pretty surprising that Nebuchadnezzar, he says this, because throughout the book, King Nebuchadnezzar has been trying to sort of combat the truth of God. Every time God would say, "King Nebuchadnezzar, this is the truth, this is what's going to happen," King Nebuchadnezzar would try and circumvent that or defy God in some way. For instance, let's go back to Daniel chapter 2, please. Daniel chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 36. Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 36. Here, this was after King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He had a dream about this statue, and he didn't really know what it meant. The statue had a head of gold, chest and arms of silver, bronze thighs, and clay and iron legs. He didn't really know what it meant. So Daniel and his friends, they interpret the dream for the king, and that's where it picks up in verse 36. "This was the dream. Now we will tell its interpretation before the king. You, O king, or king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory. And wherever the sons of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or birds of the sky, he has given them into your hand and caused you to rule over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, there will arise another kingdom inferior to you, then another third kingdom of bronze, which will rule over the earth. Then there will be a fourth kingdom as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things, so like iron that breaks in pieces, it will crush and break all these into pieces." Here we see Nebuchadnezzar is told ultimately by God, that his kingdom would come to an end, right? That was the truth that God had given to King Nebuchadnezzar. But how exactly did he respond? Did he respond by accepting this? Okay, God, you're right. Let's take a look. Next chapter, please. Chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits. He set it up on a plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. See, King Nebuchadnezzar, it seems to me that he created this image and its entirety was made of gold. It seems to me that King Nebuchadnezzar is saying, "My kingdom is going to last forever. I don't care what God has said." You see, the king, he was denying the truth of God. The example that we are talking about here in Daniel chapter 4, starting in verse 24, the king had another dream. another dream that needed to be interpreted. And this was the interpretation, starting in verse 24 of chapter 4. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. You will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beast of the field, and you will be given grass to eat like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven for 7 periods of time, until you recognize that the Most High Ruler is over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. And in that it was commanded to leave the stump with the roots of the tree, your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be prolonging of your prosperity. See, in this dream, or in this instance, God is telling King Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be driven away from your kingdom. Well, how does he respond to this truth given by God? Let's jump down to verse 29. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power for the glory of my majesty? You see, God told King Nebuchadnezzar, until you humble yourself, you're going to be driven away from your kingdom. The king didn't humble himself. He says, look what I built with my power and with my might. You know, after both of these instances of the king sort of declaring his own power, well, God showed his. God revealed to King Nebuchadnezzar that his works ultimately are truth. And there are some lessons for us here. First of all, honest doubts are normal. Now, what do I mean whenever I say honest doubts? I like to say that there are two types of people in the world. There are people who are honestly looking for answers. They have honest questions, and they're looking for honest answers. And there are other people who are just looking for problems. They're looking for the loophole so they don't have to do X, Y, or Z, right? I'm not talking about that person. Honest doubts are normal. And number two, when we have those doubts, we need to remember King Nebuchadnezzar. Because sometimes we may wonder whether God is really taking care of his people. You know, whether God is going to keep his promise. Well, God's works are truth. And we can trust that he's going to take care of us. And finally, we need to remember God's promises. You know, it seems as if King Nebuchadnezzar, he was forgetting God's promise. God told King Nebuchadnezzar, look, your kingdom's going to come to an end. King Nebuchadnezzar didn't accept that. God told King Nebuchadnezzar, if you don't humble yourself, I'm going to drive you away from your kingdom. King Nebuchadnezzar didn't accept that. It seems that he either forgot God's promises, or he just ignored them. Reminds me a little bit, whenever I was a little kid, my parents would be like, you know, Reuben, you need to clean your room before you go to sleep. And sometimes I would forget. Sometimes I just didn't care. I was like, okay, I'll do it in the morning. And that was not a good decision. My mom, you know, she would wear me out. And she'd do it in the worst possible way. Like, I would be sleeping. Right? I would be sleeping, you know, resting. I was having probably like the best dream ever. And then heaven rains down, fire and brimstone. I needed to remember the promise that my mom made. And similarly, we need to remember God's promises. God has promised life to those who follow him. And God has also promised punishment to those who don't walk according to his will. And some people live like Nebuchadnezzar. They say, well, you know, they forget either God's promises, or they just say, well, I'll do it later. I don't really care. I don't think God really will send people, you know, to hell. They forget God's promises. We need to make sure that we're not this way. King Nebuchadnezzar, he hits the nail right on the head. God's works are truth. That's not all he says. Let's go back to verse 37 of chapter 4, please. Verse 37 of chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar says he's going to exalt, honor, and honor the King of Heaven, for number one, his works are true. Two, his ways are just. Again, this is pretty surprising for King Nebuchadnezzar to say, because it seems like all of his interactions with God tend to be pretty negative experiences. He doesn't seem to have too many good experiences dealing with God. The first time, you know, he's sort of introduced, I guess, the first time we are told that he's introduced to the God of Heaven was whenever he had that dream of the statue, and God says, your kingdom is going to come to an end. This had to be a big deal for King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, people in ancient times didn't worry too much about death. You know, they understood that death was inevitable, that they were going to die. So they focused on more on keeping their name alive. You know, if they couldn't have immortality as far as life goes physically, well, if maybe their name can be immortal. And I suspect King Nebuchadnezzar was the same way. But God had just said, well, your kingdom's going to come to an end. Your name, so to speak, is going to come to an end. And King Nebuchadnezzar didn't like that. He rebelled by building a statue all out of gold. During the other experience that we were talking about, when King Nebuchadnezzar was going to be driven from his kingdom, God says, I'm going to take you away from everything you know, and you're going to live with the beast in the field. You know, I don't know how King Nebuchadnezzar took that, but I know if God was like, Reuben, I'm just going to take you from everything you know, and you're just going to go live with some beast, I wouldn't have taken that too well. I don't know about King Nebuchadnezzar, but me, wouldn't have taken that too well. You see, the king didn't simply hear bad news. He was living through tough times, and these tough times were brought upon by God. But how did he respond? Verse 37, he says, his ways are just. Even though I went through these tough times, even though God allowed me to go through these tough times, well, God's ways are just. Now, that's something that we all need to remember, because we are going to go through tough times. Now, that's just the way life is. And some of us have recently went through tough times regarding the hurricane. You know, my family in Beaumont, they're still living in an apartment while everything at the house is getting finished. Some people just went through tough times. But still, God's ways are just. We have heaven waiting for us. And all of the tough times, all of the trials, and whatever we go through, well, it's worth it for heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar says that God's works are true, says that his ways are just, but that's not all. Let's go back to verse 37, please. Verse 37 of chapter 4, he also says, finally, that he humbles the prideful. It seems to me, after reading through Daniel, that King Nebuchadnezzar, he was just a prideful person. You know, every instance where God would say something, King Nebuchadnezzar would pridefully say, well, it's not going to be that way, right? That's what King Nebuchadnezzar did. He had a pride problem. You know, maybe you've heard the saying, pride before the fall. That's exactly what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. And it happens today. You know, I was watching this video of this ATF officer, and he was doing a presentation in front of a school class, something along those lines. And he was a little cocky, you know, he was very bold in what he was saying. He was showing them his weapon, and he said he cleared the weapon, or so he thought. And he says, I'm the only one qualified in this classroom to handle this weapon. And he releases the slide. The slide goes forward, and he shoots himself in the foot. Yeah, he literally shot himself in the foot. It's ironic, right? He was very prideful, very cocky. He was like, I'm the only one qualified enough to handle this weapon. And then he ends up shooting himself in the foot. You know, I guess he didn't realize, you know, if you clear a gun with a magazine still in it and you release the slide, it chambers a bullet, right? Pride before the fall. We need to make sure that we are not this way, because pride really is harmful to us. Pride, I mean, if you think about King Nebuchadnezzar, his pride prevented him from thinking about his spiritual future. And I got to think, do we live like this sometimes where our pride tells us that we don't need to worry about our spiritual future? Maybe I'll handle it down the road, but right now, I want to live how I want to live. I want to have fun. King Nebuchadnezzar's pride prevented him from seeing his spiritual future. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 tells us that we're all going to be judged one day. Paul writes, "For we all will be judged for our deeds that have been done while in the body." And we need to be aware of that future. We need to make sure that our pride isn't blinding us from that future. And notice with me also that the king's pride told him that he didn't need to heed God's warnings. You know, God has warned us about certain things in our life. God has warned us not to get close to the world, right? 1 Corinthians 15, evil company corrupts good morals. But sometimes we look at the world and we see the line there. There's the line. And we want to get as close to that line as we can, because we sort of want to be part of the world, straddle the fence a little bit. Because I want to have a little bit of fun. See, our pride can sometimes blind us from the warnings that God has given. King Nebuchadnezzar, he was living a life of pride. And I don't want to live a life like that. I don't want to live a life where I go through these ups and downs. And that's exactly what King Nebuchadnezzar's pride was doing to him. You know, I would say that the Christian life shouldn't be up and down. It shouldn't be this roller coaster. It'd be more like a line where we're continually growing. Paul encouraged the Thessalonian church to excel still more. We should always be growing. And that's how I hope my life is. That's how I hope your life is. But if it's not, well, maybe we need to go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us to improve our lives. You know, sort of in conclusion, let me just ask, is this the type of God that you would like to serve? God whose works are true, whose ways are just, and who is able to humble the prideful. Maybe there's someone here tonight who would like to serve a God like that. That's the type of God I would like to serve. And if that's the type of God that you would like to serve, well, then you can do something about that here tonight. Maybe there's someone who's been living like King Nebuchadnezzar, been living like part of the world, and you want to come back from that. You can do that also. Whatever you need, you can come now as we stand and as we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow.
Good evening. It's good to see everybody this evening. Hope you've had a good afternoon, and certainly glad that you're here. Let me join with Reuben, extending a warm welcome to all of you who are visiting with us this evening. We hope that you'll come back whenever you have the opportunity to do so. We just have one announcement, and then we'll be led in closing prayer by Jack Brooks. As was mentioned in the bulletin, as well as this morning, Anthony and Janice Paul's son, Stephen, and wife, Laura, were expecting their second baby, their second grandchild, the Paul's grandchild. And Laura began having some contractions, went to the hospital. They did an emergency C-section. The baby was born 3 months premature, weighed 1 pound, 9 ounces. She was going to spend a long time in the NICU, but then they determined that she had that the baby, Bennett, had some complications where he had a perforated intestine. They had some doctors from the Dell Children's Hospital in Austin come over to Seton Medical Center, where the baby is, perform that surgery, and the surgery went well. It's a long road ahead for this family, this young baby, so we need to keep them, Anthony and Janice, in our prayers and see and check with them, see if there's anything we can do for them. Please pick up a bulletin if you haven't done so already. Several in there that we need to keep in our prayers. Also, the November assignments are listed in here, so check that. Make sure that you have that on your calendar and are ready to serve when called upon. Is there anything else that needs to be mentioned? If not, please stand as we go to our Father in prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of another Lord's Day, the beginning of a work week, we ask that you would go through this time with us. May our fondest wishes be fulfilled, if it be thy will. And we ask especially if you would look after our children. No matter what age they are, they're still our children. Give them their fondest wishes, if it be thy will. We ask that you would look down upon this congregation, the elders and the deacons and the people who constitute the church. May we always work to fulfill thy commandments. May the things that are said and done be in accordance to thy will. We ask that you would go with us as we go on to the house. Take care of us, guide, guard, and protect us, and bring us back. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.